Call to order this regular Borough Assembly meeting of the City and Borough of Greenville, Alaska, on July 26, 2016, at 7 p.m. Pledge of Allegiance this evening will be led by Assemblymember Daniel Blake, and if you remain standing afterward for the invocation to be given by Mr. Don McConaughey.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. Lord, we are gathered together in your presence to perform the work of this borough and city of Greenville, Alaska. Give this assembly the strength and the wisdom to preserve, to perform their duties to benefit the city, the citizens that they so generously represent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Don.
We have no ceremonial matters this evening, so roll call, please.
Assemblymembers Blake.
Here.
Prisanka.
Here.
Rooney.
Here.
Decker. Howell.
Here.
Mitchell.
Here.
And Mayor Jack.
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Does anyone have any amendment? Item 4, conflict of interest. Anyone have a conflict of interest with any agenda item? Number 5, consent agenda.
Move to approve those agenda items listed under the consent agenda and those items marked with an asterisk 6A, 7A, 7B, 7C, and 13G.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Roll, please.
Assemblymembers Powell.
Yes.
Mitchell.
Yes.
Blake.
Yes.
Prisanka.
Yes.
Rudy.
Yes.
And Mayor Jack.
Yes. Item 8, Borough Manager's Report.
I was going to have Amber talk on the water. We can wait till the agenda item, or I can ask her if she could do that under my agenda, or my agenda item now, to talk about water. Which would you prefer?
Whichever works best.
Okay, we can talk about it on the agenda item. Is that okay? Sure. To have her give a little report?
Yeah. Yeah.
Other than that, we've got a couple projects going on. As you know, Wood Street's going along. We had a water shutoff on Sunday morning, I guess. That went well. We just had to replace a valve, and they did it to accommodate the processors to make sure they were done, and we coordinated that with them, and it went smooth. And I think we had 2 hours allocated, and they did it in about an hour and a half, and it went real smooth, but it's part of that project. So we got that done. There's some paving items on your agenda tonight. Around town here, we don't, with the Evergreen project, most of our street funds are dedicated for that right now to do our match. But we did have some other money in our sales tax street fund, and so there's a handful of streets we're going to try to fix that we've had problems with, or the worst ones. The Evergreen project, we've been pushing on that to get, we've been working with Senator Stedman's office and others to make sure that they don't kind of lose track of that again and get delayed another year. It's scheduled now again for next year, but I think we need to keep the pressure on to make sure they don't drop the ball and delay it one more year. The barge ramp should get going here this week or soon. The assembly approved that earlier in the week, or last week maybe, and to do some concrete work out there. I've been working with the court system for the last 6 months on a new contract up there, and I think we're getting close to that. I'll bring that back to the assembly probably at the next meeting. SEPA has sent us an interruptible agreement to use at our school, and with all there's just a ton of things going on, I have not had a chance to really take that agreement and take a good look at it. But I hope to do that later this week. Also, the airport security grant, they wanted to reduce that about over 50%. And it caused a big uproar with us and other communities, and so they decided just to do it one more year as it was, and we'll discuss that later in the year. That was their request. So, and obviously the hot topic has been water, and other than what Amber's going to say, the only thing I will say is it's important to the public to know we're not over the hump yet. Things are better, but it wouldn't take much to, you know, go the other direction. So conservation is still a mandate. We're still looking at things on our side. The processors are still doing things on their end of things. And I think, short of some really bad thing happening, I think we should be able to get through the rest of the processor season. And at the same time, look at a bunch of options for next year. There's a couple things we're going to be doing as soon as we get materials in, the repping filter being one of them. But anyway, we'll look at all our options. And Amber, we've talked to a lot of different people, and she'll explain that a little later tonight, some of the things we've looked at and just some of the options that we're exploring. So unless there's anything else.
Go ahead. I think some of the confusion is that when we send out these bulletin saying that the tank is full, everybody sort of says, great, we're back into using water again because we got a full tank. I might recommend that instead of using language like that, we just keep sort of reminding them, because I remember at one point we thought we were doing pretty darn good, and the next morning literally we were not doing good.
Right.
And so I'm a little bit worried that folks are going to kind of kick into high gear on the water usage again.
And I think each morning when I give the stuff to Kim, I mean, we keep reminding them the tank is this, but that can change so quick, exactly what you've said, that, you know, and you don't want to not tell people what's going on. I think it's important, you know, the public know, but I think we've tried to get that message across that tank is a very small holding thing that we could use up, you know, a very short period of time. So I guess
Just to outline, so is it cool for me to wash my truck now? Can I power wash my boat? Like, or are we at the point where we're still saying that's unnecessary water consumption, don't do that activity? But can I go back to showering every day? Because my wife is complaining about that. So, I mean, maybe we can just sort of come up with concrete things for homeowners
and we
to
can
do.
That.
Got one question for him. I know you've gotten a lot of suggestions from the public in the last couple of weeks on this matter, and I don't know if this is one of them or if it's something that we've looked at, but part of the problem we're having with the filters is they weren't designed for the type of water that we're pulling, surface water instead of groundwater. There's a lot more stuff in it, so the filters clog up. Have we looked at maybe raising that pipe that's in the reservoir up a little ways to where we're not in the sludge in the bottom of it, and we're actually pulling cleaner water more off the top of the reservoir?
The problem we have there is we have two reservoirs, the upper one and the lower one. The water comes from the lower one, and we don't have the ability right now to do any work on the lower one because all the water from the lower one goes to our plant. So to drain that, we would be out of water. We do have a grant, and we will be working on that, to a bypass line that can go to our upper reservoir also. So we can get water from either reservoir then, and when we do that, it would give us the ability to access water, drain the lower one, and do whatever kind of work we want. But right now, we don't have the ability to do that.
Okay.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
I didn't know if maybe you could put a diver in there and just prop that pipe up a couple of feet from where it's at now and get it out of the sludge in the bottom.
You might just get sucked down the hole there, I don't know. But yeah, I don't know right now if that would be something we could do, but certainly the idea, then the reason we wanted this bypass is so we could drain the lower one and do a variety of different kind of work on it, you know, to get
it needs to be cleaned every once
in a while. Exactly.
Yeah.
and valves and all kind of other things, you know, we need to do maintenance, but we don't have the way it was designed where the upper one basically just drains down the hill into the lower one. That's how it gets there. But if we can get this other line in to the upper one, then we would have a mechanism for bypassing the lower one, shutting it off, draining it, and then still have water, and then be able to do that kind of maintenance. So no, it's a that kind of thing is a good idea, and it's needed just to clean it and replace valves and different things like that.
Can I, Mr. Mayor? So what's the timeline for getting, because I mean, you got that, we had that money for a while, because that was when I was working up there, that it was received. So do we have a timeline at all for putting that line in that bypasses the?
I cannot give you one right now. It's something, I can't remember when we received the money. I want to say 2013.
Yeah.
We have 5 years to use it up. It's been on our list to tackle since then, and that's the next project that I will tackle as time allows.
Some of the delay on that was that a long time ago, it was kind of started under a different grant years ago, and kind of the decision was we were deciding whether to try to pick that up with the engineer we had, or just put it out to an RFP to get a, you know, someone to start over, and they hadn't got that far on it. I can't remember why the money kind of ran out, and, but anyway, it was kind of, we've been looking at that too, whether to pick up with the other engineer or start over, and we've had so many other things, like in the last year, about from June of last year till just a month ago, that sewer pumps project. Literally, that has taken, I don't know how many hours of Amber's time, Lee, Carol, and I, in doing all the the USDA requirements. It's just mind-boggling. I mean, it took a staff of that much, probably, I don't know, we probably averaged a week, a month in the last year just on that. And then it had to be rushed through to get it done by June 30th, which we did. But
part of the other delay was that there was this idea that a certain engineering group had worked on that project in the beginning. The project got halted. And there was a lot of discussion with them at the beginning of after receiving the funds. And just recently, they could never put their hands on the plans. And our plan was to actually just sole source with them as professional services, to pick that project back up and run with it. And they never could find any plans, we couldn't find anything, and just recently we found out that it was another firm with a similar name that actually did that work. So,
but it was years and years ago. Yeah. I think they both have the name Wilson in them, and we thought it was one and it was the other one, so, but it was probably 10 years ago or more, I think, so.
89, I think.
Oh, that long ago?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Way more than that, so.
Any further questions, comments? Thank you. For clerk's file.
Nothing other than what's in my report, except that absentee voting begins on Monday for the primary, and that's here in the assembly chambers. So that's going to be happening, and then just a reminder, declaration for candidacy opens on Monday as well for the whole month.
Thank you. Any questions? Item 10, Mayor Assembly Reports and Appointments. Reports by Assembly Members. Does any Assembly Member have any report?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I went to the Medical Center board meeting, and they have some interesting things going on. They are applying for a housing grant, and they're in the pre-application phase, and it's a grant that's for providing housing for teachers and healthcare staff in rural America. And the idea is to get some type of modular living quarters and put it on the hospital property. And evidently last year they spent $50,000 in housing, just housing for travelers, traveling nurses and doctors. So they're trying to look at ways to cut that. They have three permanent nurses coming online, And they're really pretty excited about that. And they also are credentialing a orthopedic surgeon out of Ketchikan that's going to come up here and do some minor stuff. So that's kind of promising. Their operating cash was down a bit for June, but evidently that's normal when they have the end of year stuff going on. Medicare and Medicaid both were slow in paying. The payments have started coming back in. They're back up. And asked about our request to have a transition plan to transition back from TruBridge to having the accounting done in-house so we could create jobs in our own community. And they asked that we send them a letter defining exactly what we are requesting. They had a little bit different idea of what that plan was supposed to be than I did. So Kim is gonna take a look at the actual minutes from the meeting where it was discussed and send them a request. That's all I have.
Yes. I got the opportunity, I'm going on a trip I'd actually go to the state fair for the first time I've ever gone. And since I'm going there on Thursday, I get to meet with Herb and Patrick on this ANSEP thing and go to the actual class that they're teaching on the campus and tour that. And then Monday, I'm going to meet with Herb and them again and go out to Wasilla and see how that class is being done. So I'll just let you guys know, it's on my own time, I just decided to do it. The trip was planned long before the ANSEP thing was, but it kind of worked out that I get to go on that. So I'll let you guys know how that goes.
Very good. Anything else? Okay. Next item is 10B, appointment to fill the vacancies on various city boards, committees, and commissions. We have one seat on the Planning and Zoning Commission that expires in October 2017. Economic Development Committee 1 expires October 2018. We also have 3 on the Nolan Center Civic Center Board and expire at various days, but we have that on the agenda for later, so we'll see what happens with that. On the others, I'll go ahead, if you want to go ahead and keep advertising on those two. And then, pending the outcome of the agenda item this evening, we'll see what goes on with that. And there are no letters of vacancy that were, or no letters received for any of these vacancies, so. Item 10C is appointment to fill the vacancy on the Rangel Medical Center Hospital Board on expired term until October 2016. There are no letters of interest received for that also. I don't know, this is July. I guess still have 3 months before the election, so somebody might express interest, who knows. Well, that's it for that item 10, and item 11 is persons to be heard. This is an opportunity for any member of the audience to speak on the item that is on the agenda. When the agenda item comes up, you will not have an opportunity to speak on it unless the assembly has specific questions regarding the item. No one signed up to be heard. Item 12 is unfinished business. Proposed ordinance number 919, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, proposing an amendment to the Home Rule Charter, repealing section 3-10, Nolan Museum and Civic Center. This is the second reading.
Move to adopt ordinance number 919. That would place the question on the October 4th, 2016 regular borough election ballot to repeal Charter Section 310, Nolan Museum and Civic Center.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
Mr.
Yes.
When this goes on the ballot, is there an explanation that says it's just removing the board? Because this makes it sound like the whole Norwood Civic Center is going.
There is, and when you,
Ordinance.
Can I speak?
Oh, yes, go ahead.
In the ordinance, there's actually a, it's not here, it's on, but anyways, there is an explanation for that, and it's right here. Yeah, it says Proposition 1, and then it gives an explanation, and then underneath it asks the question. So that will, all of that will be on the ballot. And that's a very good question. The attorney wanted to make sure that we explain that.
Any further questions, comments? Call vote, please.
Assemblymember Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prusanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13, new business. Item 13A, proposed ordinance number 920. An ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 18.04.080, section 107.2, amended. Permit fees of the Wrangell Municipal Code relating to building permit fees. This is a first reading.
Move to approve first reading of ordinance number 920 and move to a second with a public hearing to be held on August 23rd, 2016.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Call vote, please.
Assemblymembers Blake?
Yes.
Prusanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. 13B, a proposed ordinance number 921, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 5.08.060, tax-free days of the Wrangell Municipal Code to provide that the Assembly may approve one sales tax-free day each fiscal year. This is the first reading.
Move to approve the first reading of ordinance number 921 and move to a second with a public hearing to be held August 23rd, 2016.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
I had a question, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, go ahead.
Someone asked me about, is the one coming up that they have scheduled, that's still gonna be scheduled, or?
What we've normally done on this is allow the chamber to select a day.
Okay.
So that you have one day between July 1 and June 30th, and we've allowed them to do that, and rather than us make the selection, so.
Didn't they already have one, since they were supposed to have two anyways, didn't they have one that, are you gonna talk to them? Thought there was one
well,
in
they
there.
Had two last year.
Right, they had one in May, and then I thought they said, you know, on their scheduling, they had one slated for October also.
Right, and that would be fine, but then they would be done until after June 30, 2017.
So we're gonna let them know that though,
then. Yeah.
If they have the one in October, they're not gonna have one in the spring.
Yeah, if this is approved, then we would let them know you've got one, you can either have it in October, or you can have it in May or whenever,
okay.
Or December or January, whenever they wanna okay. have it, so.
And they do know that. They asked okay. the question and I gave them that answer.
Okay.
Anything further? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Prusanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13C, proposed ordinance number 922, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending certain sections of chapter 15.16, cemetery of the Wrangell Municipal Code relating to cemetery fees. This is a first reading.
I move to approve first reading of ordinance number 922 and move to a second with a public hearing to be held on August 23rd, 2016.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? You have something?
I'm sorry. Yes. I got a question for Jeff. How many people do we have to be buried in this cemetery? Cemetery fees is in just when somebody's buried. Is that what you're talking about? Go ahead. She's a cemetery expert. So
when somebody is buried there, or when somebody wants to reserve a plot, also dealing with the columbarium, all of that.
And what is the demand? What do we historically do in a year?
Oh, maybe, it's awful. Yeah, it just depends.
Can we get some
but
more
maybe
usage?
10 or 15
I've lived
year,
here
maybe?
For 3 years. I've never seen anybody buried yet.
Oh,
there have been.
I have record.
I've gone to at least
that's
a couple.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But I mean,
maybe 10.
And what is the fees going to go up to? What are we talking about?
They will go from, go ahead.
It's various.
In the ordinance there, it brackets mm-hmm. what's being taken out, and then it shows what they're going to.
Starts on slide 52.
Mm-hmm. One thing that's prompted this a tiny bit is these have been in existence forever. There hasn't been any changes. The other thing is we're rapidly running out of space. In fact, probably at the next meeting, we're going to bring something to you to look at some sites and to... I don't know if Amber agrees with me, but I've got a site that, no, it's not the City Hall lawn either, so. but we have to do something. We're getting down to where we just don't have a lot of space, so. Mm-hmm. But they're expensive to develop, and so anyway, that's one of the reasons for just kind of the timing of this.
Anything further? Please.
Assembly members Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13D, review of the local contractors list.
There's no motion, I don't believe.
There's no action on
it's
this.
It's discussion.
Just
discussion.
Possible
action.
Yes.
Just a couple items. We've been doing this approximately, not quite a year, but getting close to that. We had a meeting here, when was that?
July 15th.
Okay, with the department heads, and just asked them for feedback on how they felt it was going. I think some of the areas that suggestions they had were if we had to, there was something that we, say we needed a welder and there's no welders on the list, that they didn't feel it was a good thing for the city to have to be forced to go to a general contractor because they can get anybody, then they go hire the welder, and then we pay the markup. And so if it's a general that doesn't normally have that service themselves, that we shouldn't have to do something where they're subcontracting and we're paying again for that. So that if it's someone not on the list, it's usually because there's not a lot of activity. You know, we've had tree cutters. There might be a couple years before we ever even call them. So if, to be on the list, it costs, I think, contractors roughly $100 a year to have us listed as an additional assured on their insurance. So they pay the $100 and then they don't get any business for 2 or 3 years, and every year they're doing that. It doesn't seem quite right. They have insurance, it's just this, we're just not listed as an additional insured. So I guess those that we would like to be able to just to hire those specialty things that aren't on here, that just you know, like guys that do earthwork, we're using them all the time, and electricians, sometimes carpenters, and there's some that we use pretty frequently, but there's others that we just rarely don't do. The line crew can do a lot of the tree stuff, but if it's something you need someone that knows what they're doing or has to go up and top it and bring it down, we don't have the, and they can't do that, say with the line department, it's too big a tree or whatever, you know, we've got to get a specialty person. And and we do some welding on with our staff, but there's some things that, you know, are kind of specialty things that, you know, we don't do. And so anyway, I think that was the main thing, don't you, that mm-hmm. that was the kind of the main complaint. But
one of the things that bothered me in the write-up is that the department heads have found that people are taking extra time because they're getting paid by the hour. But as I read through the original, the write-up, there's provisions in there for them to take action against that contractor. Mm-hmm. So really, that to me is comes down to the department heads to prevent that. That if it's a, if it's obvious that we're going over, and do they give kind of an estimate to say, well, it's going to be this many hours to start with? And can we say, you know, if they come in way over, do we have the ability to say what's going on with this?
Well, we have the ability, even if you think it's a $100 job, to get quotes from people on the list. Say, give me a quote. I don't think that's practical.
Right.
And I think, you know, anytime you write someone up, sometimes that's a little subjective. You might say, we think you should have done that faster. Maybe they're saying that's why I'm the lowest guy here, because I'm slow, you know, so I charge less, but it just takes me longer to do things. I mean, I don't know, but I think the deal is, if you write someone up, is kind of start your blackball list for them, and I think it says you get a couple of those and then you're suspended for a year. I think people are always reluctant to do that. I understand it's in there and it was supposed to work that way, but I think in reality, unless you have something pretty objective to get your hands around, and you know, these smaller jobs, normally, you know, you don't get an estimate. You just go and get it done, and most of the time you're trying to get things done and you don't have the time to, and if you do that kind of stuff, then you're not going to get all the things done you need to get done. So it's kind of a catch-22. The more paperwork you do, you know, just the longer that project takes. And
well, it was raised by an issue by the department heads.
Right.
So that we're being gouged. And so
I understand.
So if that's an issue that they're identifying, and it's come forward, I think we have to say something on it.
Yeah.
Because the intention was to set ourselves up for pain.
And I've told them that at the meeting, that you have that, as the department head, you have that avenue to fill out a complaint form and say, you know, we think this took twice as long as it took. They can certainly come back and make an argument, well, this is the reason why, and then you kind of get into that back and forth. So I agree with you that that's a complaint. They have an avenue to resolve it, and it's just something that hasn't been done yet. And I don't know if there's been any real abuse of that by the contractors, or I think generally that isn't the case. I mean, they come and do their work and get done and move on, and so.
I think, you know, if anything, you're going to have problems with anything you do. That's obviously, that's why we got a contractor's list right now. But unless there's some specific situation that somebody can point to, I kind of have to take that with a grain of salt. That's subjective, as you said earlier. I mean, this contractor's taking too much time. Who is this contractor? Does anybody know? So, you know, I mean, that's the kind of thing, you know. Unless somebody can say, Joe Blow over here took 20 hours on a 5-hour job and he's gouging the city. Well, okay. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. What was the detail? What was all the detail? That all entail, you know, specific things, not just subjective that he took too long. I don't think that's proper. Yes.
The only area I have a problem with the policy, and this wasn't really discussed and hashed out until the policy was actually in place, and we sat down as department head in a group and talked about how this would work out. And the area that I don't like is that, so we have the ability, when we have, say, a small job or a larger job, to ask for quotes. We don't necessarily have to go to that next person on the list, right? So we do have the ability. You have to take the time to prepare an RFP, you know, get that information out to all the contractors so they all have the right information, which is fine and well. And I've used that process for some of the larger projects, like concrete road repairs and whatnot. But what I don't like about that is that we're restricted to only asking the people on the list for a price. And I feel like if we're going to go outside of using the next person on the list and we want to solicit for quotes, we should be able to ask anyone who is a bona fide company who does that work, whether or not they're on that list or not. Because there's some people who just don't want to deal with it, and they don't want to have their name on the list. They don't want to take the time to sign up with us, whatever the case may be. That's my only issue with the policy.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but then that was the reason this list was generated in the first place, was to avoid a lot of these issues. And if that person doesn't want to take the time to come down here and fill in the paperwork and get on the list, then they don't want a job very bad. That's my opinion.
We're restricting ourselves.
And you're penalizing the other people that's on that, done what they had to do to get on the list. And well, you hired someone else, but it's not on the list. That's not right. Yes.
We were going to review the clerk's involvement and maybe that's transition to another set of responsible people. And I don't know if this is the place to do it, but. I mean, it was 1 year, and it's been about a year that you've been doing it. So I don't know if there needs to be discussion on that, or I guess I'd like to ask Kim what she thinks. She'd like it to not be on her plate any longer, and we need to revisit that.
I don't mind having it in my office so long as it doesn't grow, as long as more
lists
and changes, and I mean, if change for the better, but change because of just certain people wanting it done a certain way and molding it, I don't agree with that. But otherwise, the way it's going, I mean, it's very generic. It really is. I mean, somebody calls me or emails me and says, you know, I need some work done, you know, and the next person on the list is so-and-so, you know. Okay, you see the list I have in the agenda. I put the person who made the request, the department, the date, and if they accepted it, and then they moved to the bottom of the list, I save it in PDF, which shows when it was updated. I add the deficiency form. I add the work order form. I add the rates that if the contractor gave me rates. And I email it to the department head saying, now I just say update it today. So.
I just want to go back to what Amber was talking about, because I disagree a little bit with the mayor. I think that if we determine that we're better off to go to a bid, and that bid may save the city some money, I don't see why we'd limit ourselves to just the list. We're the keepers of the list. We're the ones that came up with this. There's no law that says you can't. And if just because somebody, once we go to a bid process, I don't know why we wouldn't open it up across the board versus just staying to our list. We may come up with a better price. Somebody may not choose to go on this list because they may not want to deal with the small projects, or they may want to only work, you know, I don't know why people would be motivated not to, but I would like the best deal for the city. And I would sure hate to think that we're paying more because we made a rule ourselves that's compelling us to only stay on the list. This is our rule. It's not, there's no outside entity telling us how we have to do this. So I disagree a little bit with you, Mr. Mayor. Just, I'd like to see us have that ability to go outside. If we're taking the time to put together a bid package, why not send it out and see how we can do with it?
I don't think that wasn't what I was. I think we still have that option anyway. We don't have to go by the list if we go out to bid.
Wow.
That wasn't what I was actually saying.
Okay, because I think that's what Amber said.
Is that what you were talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
You were saying proposals.
Yes, for proposals or bids. I mean, if I decide that I want to take the time to prepare a request for a competitive quote.
Okay, I misunderstood what you were saying. I'm sorry.
We're going to tell someone that they don't have an opportunity to do business with the city. When we're asking for quotes, we're not actually, in my mind, we're not at that point utilizing, you know, this kind of sole sourcing, going to the next person on the list. You know, we're taking a different step. We're going an extra mile to make sure that we're getting the best bang for our buck and getting that job done.
Okay.
And offering it to everyone who has the ability to do that work.
Go ahead.
Kim, how long does it take to fill the form out? How complicated is it to get on the list?
For the contractor?
Yeah.
For them to compile their insurance and fill it, there's really not a lot to fill out. I mean, it's pretty much all there. They just have to read it, sign
so,
it, put
so
the rates.
So if you called somebody and you wanted a bid and they said, yes, I want to bid on this, mm-hmm. they could come in and have this done in a matter of a few minutes. Am I not right?
I honestly don't know because they usually just come in with all of it ready. And so, I mean, I've had somebody call me in the beginning, say, I'm going to do this, get it ready, and then I don't see them until the next week. You know, so I really don't know how long. I think they have to call and get their insurance. They have to get their certificates. They have to fill out, you know, they have to do the W-9. They have to do, then they have to fill out their price sheet. What are they going to charge? You know, figure all that out and get that to me as well. And then they have to tell me exactly what, I mean, usually it takes me having to call them and say, okay, you filled this out. Now tell me, do you do this? Do you do this? Do you do this? Do you do this? I mean, it's...
Well, typically, like in the oil field, we have a master service agreement, and you don't work for a company unless you've signed that master service agreement. And basically, you've modeled this as a downsized version of that. We were a subcontractor. We build oil field locations. That master service agreement was 150 pages long. It took us weeks to go through that. And obviously, ours isn't 150 pages long.
No.
But by having this agreement, you was assured that the price rates were set. You had an hour rate for every piece of machinery that it worked. The price rates were set. Everybody had already been vetted. You didn't hire a contractor that failed to do the job or had bad work or had a bad reputation. And that was the reason to do this. And that this is one of the reasons we somewhat went down this road is because we were having complaints. So I'm with the mayor. I think we need to hold fast and keep our system in place.
However, I will say that if there is a quote or proposal done, they do have to sign an agreement that, you know, and I in the beginning, I will say I was in opposition of what Amber had wanted to allow for them to go out to the whole, anybody who wanted to bid or quote. But now, seeing the way, you know, just kind of seeing how it all has been played out, I would be in favor of it.
Just one definition difference here. We go out for bids occasionally that we advertise in the paper, and at that point, anybody can, I mean, anybody's fair game to bid on that. We can't restrict people. In fact, I'm not even sure we legally can. But if you just go and get three quotes, say it's in that, and even if it's under the amount, you have to do that. So say it's $1,000, that's a little different because I think you can specifically select either people on the list or if we didn't have this thing at all, you could just go out and get three quotes from three people that do that kind of work. So I think there is a difference if you actually have some bid item that you're in the paper and it's you have to let everybody participate where I think under this program where you don't have to bid, you're just asking for quotes. Currently, we're required to get them from the list. And I think that's what Amber's talking about, whether you could, as an example, just since this came up not that long, I wrote bad nightmares from Amber, but rock crushing. You know, say if it's a smaller amount and you only wanted a little bit done, the way it is now, we would have one person to do it. There'd be no competition. But if you could go get quotes from another contractor that wasn't on the list, you know, maybe Rockin' Roads in town doing their crushing and it would be a competitive thing. And I'm not saying one way's better or the work or not, but I'm just saying that it would allow competition and maybe would the city would get a better deal. And obviously if it's a lot of money, you're required to bid, so. But
I think the difference for me is the list was set up for small, quick, day-to-day things. That was what it was set up for. And if we find that we're going to spend the time to put together, you know, basically a request for a bid, why wouldn't we open it up to everybody? It makes no sense. Because now, what's the cutoff for a bid versus, like, do we go to our list if we have a, you know, a big thing? What's the cutoff? So I would just say anything goes to bid. Keep it simple. If it's going out for a bid, you make it inclusive. If it's not going out for a bid and it's a small item, then it goes off the list.
And I would propose that if we're going out to requesting a proposal as opposed to going to bid, which would be to everyone open, whether they're in Juneau or not, I would propose a change to the policy that would allow us, that would say we would invite everyone who's on the list, and then anyone else that we know who's not that can perform that service. So we're still approaching everyone on the list, but it allows us to open it up to others. And this would be, and that cutoff time, the cutoff limit is $25,000. So once you reach a $25,000 performance level, then you have to go to the invitation to bid. Before that, anything under 25, we have to request a quote. So I would propose, that would be my proposed change, would be to still send it to everyone on the list, but be allowed to send it to anyone who is licensed and qualified to do that work outside of the list as well.
One last thing. So did I hear everybody reasonably agreeable to if these smaller specialty contractors that if they're not on the list, and but no one else on the list does that, tree topper, and as long as they're insured and stuff, can we, or do we have to go through the general so that the general could hire the same person? That's, I would like to put something in there where we, if it's something that has to be subcontracted, we don't have to go to the general, we can just go find somebody.
I got to agree with Steve. The whole purpose in this list to begin with was the small jobs that you needed somebody right now to do this job and take a day to build up a bunch of boards or whatever. And that was the whole thing that I thought this list was supposed to be, and not for these major items. You know, I mean, then those should be going out to bid at any time. But if you just needed a small patch in the concrete or something like that, then this is a deal. And I think that would eliminate a lot of these things, like a contractor taking too much time. I mean, if it's a job that should be done in a day, then he should be done in a day. And if it's taking 10 days to do it, then he gets off the list. That was my thought of how this list was supposed to go in the beginning. It was just for those little things and not the major contract items.
But there is a finite, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a finite limit of where this list begins, and that's at $25,000 and below. There's, you know, the contractors, anything above that, it goes out to everyone.
Correct.
And so let me ask Jeff, when you're talking about like a tree topper type of a job, and you've got a job that needs to be done and it's going to be $5,000, you want to go directly to the specialized guy. Is that, am I understanding what you're asking?
Yes.
Okay.
If there's nobody else,
if there's nobody else on the list,
instead of
we don't want to go to the general contractor, and a general contractor 10%. Then can sub with anybody. So basically, the way it reads is zero to 5,000. You just go to the next one on the list. However, if it was 4,500, if you wanted to go out and get quotes, you could from people on the list. If it's 5,000 to 10, then you're required to solicit quotes from everybody on the list. And then after that, 10 to 25, you would get quotes from anybody. And then over 25, you'd have to go to a sealed bid process.
I'd like to see that extended. I don't think contractors should be subcontracting these jobs out. So if I'm a carpenter and I'm real busy, so I phone up my buddy over in Craig and say, hey, get over here and do this contract job for me. That was never the intention. The intention was keep it local, support our local guys. So I don't like this idea of subbing stuff out. If you can't do it, your company can't do it, then it should go to the next in town or next company that signed up. That's my opinion on it.
I agree with Steve, and if you have something that like the tree topping, that they're not on that list, then you should be able to go out and find a reputable tree topper and contract with them to do the work, as long as it falls within the parameters of the bid process, if it doesn't have to be bid out. I don't like the idea of subcontracting.
So I think what Jeff was saying too was, so are we gonna not require, or what we talked about in the beginning, then to have the city as an additional insured pay that $100 fine if they are gonna be on the list? Here's the thing, is that if you have somebody like a specialty person who is on the list, I know that's been my complaints. That's really not my complaints, but the complaints I've received is that, you know, you have the contractors that don't do, you know, much work at all, and then they're having to pay the $100 a year, which it's not a whole lot, but it is if you don't really get any jobs. So that's been their complaint. However, on the flip side, if you say no, then we won't require it for you, then we have to require it for everybody.
I think we have to, sorry, Mr. Mayor, I think we have to have additional insured with contractors that are, especially tree topping or tree cutters. I mean, I just can see all kinds of problems mm-hmm. there. But they, you know, that's going to have to be priced in for them. I mean, if they are doing business with us, they'll have to figure out a pricing.
So what do we do if, we call somebody who's not a specialty person on the list and they can do it? Do we require them to call their insurance company, have us added, bring their insurance in? I mean, what do we do then?
What's our policy? Do we do business with companies that don't name the city as an additional insured?
We have insurance.
But they don't name us as additional insured. So our policy is not that we don't necessarily have to be named as additional insured.
On this policy?
On this one it does. But in general we haven't, because it's not normally we deal with, you know, hundreds of different businesses that may do stuff for us that...
I would just say, why can't we say that if you do not have to name us as additional insured till you take a job with us? So once you take, if you say yes, then you've got to go pay your $100 and get us additionally insured. But you got a job. What the problem is that they may pay this $100, and because they're specialty, they may go an entire year and never get a job, correct?
Right.
So why don't we just say, we will allow you, if you're, you know, like a single specialty item, you don't have to pre-purchase the additional insured until you have the job. And then they'd have to make a decision, if the job's $200, is it worth their while to...
Well, they're just going to add the $100 to the charge, but yeah. Well,
so does everybody else, though. I mean, that's business, right?
Yeah.
Tab it on there.
Most of the contractors are insured to begin with, and it's not a big deal for them to call up their insurance company and say, hey, add the city as an additional charge.
But it's good for us.
For this job.
Right.
And, it doesn't take very long. I think the wording probably would be that they have or able to obtain before the job commences.
Just one thing to consider on that, they have to, according to the policy, the way it's written now, they have to give us the rates. And so if they accepted the job, they would be billing according to the rate they gave us. This time there's not a provision for them to tack on the cost of that.
When they give you the day rate, they better figure it in.
Yeah.
They just have to be more
proactive. Well, again.
Okay. I think I understand what Jeff is saying here, though. Okay, so you got Wrangell Tree Island Tree Services on this list, okay? Is that a contracting job? Is that actually contractors, tree servicing and brushing and contractors, all that stuff? So here's my question to you. Is what I do a contractor's job when I go down and work on the harbor skiff? Okay, so you're telling me that Buenas Brothers and the Bay Company both have to get on this list before I can go down. When you're, sir, you're gonna tell Greg that he can't use me or Terry because we're not on this list. So I understand exactly what Jeff said. I'm a specialty thing. Why would I get on this contractor's list and pay $100 when I may not look at their boat for 5 years? So I understand exactly what he's talking. You got Randy Churchill Jr., you got Dave Svensson, all specialty welders. Why are they getting on this list when he might have to weld on that skiff 10 years from now? So when it comes to specialty stuff that is going on for the city, I understand exactly what Jeff is trying to do. Contractors to me is like John Taylor's and some, BW Enterprises, electrical company contracting, Johnson's Construction. These are all contractors to me. I'm not a contractor. You don't want me to work on that boat, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna pay the $100. I'm gonna tell you that right now because I may not work on that boat for 10 years. So to be realistically, I'm specialty. Terry is a specialty worker. Welders are a specialty job. Tree topping is especially, I mean, I'm not gonna go up and chop a tree down. So if you're not gonna allow contractors to subcontract, then you need to do something about the specialty jobs.
Well, I think that's what we're trying to do here, is say that if you have a, I guess what I don't understand for myself is that when in an organization, when dealing with the Forest Service, you do not deal with the Forest Service unless they're named additionally insured. There's nothing you can do.
I work on the boats and I'm not additionally insured.
Well, sorry, just I'm only looking from the standpoint of permitting. And if the city is saying that it's not that big a deal to hire people and not have the city named under the policy, I mean, that may just, maybe that's fine. And if it is, maybe we say under certain things we don't care about additional insurance, but I don't know how you decide which one. You're buying their defense is what you're buying. You want to be wrapped up with them in defense, and you don't want to get triangulated in that they're suing you and you're suing them. And I mean, that's why you additionally insure. It brings everybody under one roof.
Mayor,
go ahead.
I believe that boat mechanics would be under maintenance. I don't believe they would be contractors. The Forest Service doesn't look at them as contractors. They look at them as maintenance. Right. So maybe the easier way to handle this is through a definition of what is
That's a good idea.
Our contractor.
Very good.
And actually, probably the state of Alaska, they have certain rules that you have to have a contractor's license.
There are occupational licenses for
almost anything.
For some specialty items, and you have to look at it and see.
Well, I think like a welder, a mechanic, these kind of people, you're going to take it to their shop. They are preserving a maintenance process or a mechanical process. You don't have a contractor's list when you take your truck in to get them to work on. So I think you could handle this just with a definition. Break it down and sit down and decide who falls into what categories. Maybe you could handle your specialty items in that definition.
We can take a look at that.
Okay.
Anything further on this item? Well, there was the issue of clerk's time to maintain the list. Are you comfortable with it at this time?
I am. I'm thinking that there's going to be more work, though. So.
Well.
But maybe once we get it set, then.
Later on the agenda is a job description that maybe we should at least address this whole thing with that when it comes up of the administrative assistant.
We can discuss it then.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask for a recess at some point?
Hmm?
Can we have a recess when
yes,
we close this up?
Yes, I think
up?
This is a good time.
Sorry, I think I have
just one. I guess clarification for me. I'd like to know if there could be a clarification on when, if any time, we can go outside of the list, incorporating the list though, and adding to it to request quotes under $25,000.
Hmm.
Let me, from this discussion, I'll bring back some suggestions on what I believe is being asked, including Amber's request, and maybe we can work that into something. Well,
bring us a proposal. Yeah.
we'll do that, and then you can beat that apart. All right.
Well, we understood a year ago when we developed this that it wasn't a done deal. It was not going to be perfect. Yeah. It's a work in progress. But anyway, we'll have a recess here at 8:01 p.m.
That's bigger than that.
10 minutes.